I want to explain this for a few moments. Chassidim used to explain this. It was a very interesting parable. There is a drawer and there's an artist. There's a sketcher and there's an artist. What is an artist? We have one in the house, I know. An artist possesses, correct me if I'm wrong, an artist possesses the skill to take a bit of canvas and pigment and create with it something that is vibrant and is alive. By depicting on the canvas a certain scene, a certain image, he imparts to inanimate matter a vitality and a vibrancy. But then there are people who are not artists. They're what we call want-to-be artists, or pseudo-artists, or counterfeit artists. Now, what if such a person will mimic the original painting of the artist? He'll use a ruler or a drawing compass, and he'll draw every line and every shape meticulously. He will mimic meticulously all of the small circles, for example, that represented the eyes in the original painting of this human being that was painted. He will mimic the longer slanty line that presented the nose. He may use a palette and an easel and canvas and pigment, etc. But at the end of the day, if you look at his painting, it will not reflect the original painting. It will be dead, numb, inanimate, even though he mimicked it meticulously. With a ruler, every shape, every line was exactly, he used the same colors, but it's dead. Why? Not because he made a mistake. It's really meticulous. It was a good copy. He copied it well. But because a circle is not an eye. A circle is a circle. It just represents an eye. A slanty line is not a nose. A nose is a nose, and this is a slanty line. A slanty line can represent a nose. An oval shape, what is the ear shape? What is it called? An oval shape is not an ear. It's an oval. Right? It can represent an ear. So therefore, even with the combination of all of his lines and shapes, etc., we have her lines, we have her shapes, but we don't have a human being. So we don't have a life. An artist is not a drawer of lines. An artist is not a man who smears colors. A genuine artist possesses a gift to internalize a real image in his mind and then express and articulate that image on a piece of canvas. The skill of an artist is that he can recreate a scene from real life on paper. He may employ oval shapes to depict an ear. He may employ a slanty line to depict a nose. But what he expresses through them is real life, a real person or a real event. The pseudo-artist was not blessed with the gift of imparting life to paper, of recreating life on canvas. He knows how to draw lines. He knows how to draw shapes, all types of shapes. The sketcher is an author of lines. The artist is an author of life.
Yeah.
The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe tells of a story that his father witnessed. There was an art exhibit in Paris. It was outdoors. It was a beautiful summer day. And they were to reward a special prize to one of the artists of one of the pictures. And there was a big debate to what happened. Well, who's the best? And then it was all solved in a moment. What happened? There was a painting outdoors, a piece of art, that depicted a beautiful, beautiful orchard. And it was awesome. And there was a bird flying, and the bird came over to the painting. So he won hands down. If a bird... So when they notified him, he said, I should really lose. You know why? Because there was a guard standing at the entrance. And if it would have been a real painting, the bird would have been scared of the guard. So he said, I should really lose. But essentially what this brings out is the skill of an artist. Think about it. The skill of an artist is the ability to create life on paper. There's a human being in the lines. There's a human being in the shapes. For the drawer, painting consists of drawing lines. He's a sketcher. For the artist, it's inventing life on paper. The lines for him are an external husk. They're a container of an inner soul, of an inner vibrancy. So for the sketcher, it's manual labor. Painting is manual labor. And for the artist, it's soul labor. Or if you want to put it this way, you could say for the sketcher, it's perspiration. And for the artist, it's inspiration. The drawer communicates strokes, and the artist communicates life. Now, Chassidim would say there are sketchers of godliness, and there are artists of godliness. There is somebody who can talk about godliness, who can explain concepts of godliness, and it's accurate. There are theologians who are just off the mark, but it may be accurate, it may be real. But all of the explanations on godliness and on spirituality are not godliness. A slanty line represents a nose, but it's not a nose. You don't have the nose. Or in other words, the map is not the territory, although the map describes the territory accurately. A map of godliness is not godliness, just like an oval shape is not an ear. So you can give people information, accurate information, understanding, but you can't make the concept become real in his life if it's not physical, if it's not real. And then you have Moshe Rabbeinu, or the Moshe in each generation, the concept of a Rebbe. What is a Rebbe? What is the Alter Rebbe saying? A Rebbe is not a teacher who explains godliness, although that might be his primary occupation. His whole life he's a teacher who explains godliness. A Rebbe is an artist of transcendence. A Rebbe is an artist of godliness. A Rebbe is a man of God, an artist who can bring God to earth, who brings godliness down to earth. His explanations, his parables, his stories, his ideas, his classes, etc., are a container that contains within it godliness. They are a conduit that communicate the presence of Hashem to the Jewish people. So even if they explain it intellectually, they're not men of philosophy. They're godly people who are communicating godliness via the instrument of intellect. And this is, by the way, I'll share with you something interesting that's a tradition among Chabad Chassidim. There were many great Chabad Chassidim who wrote books of Chassidus. The Chabad Rebbes, the seven Rebbes of Chabad, wrote excessively. There's an enormous, enormous literature of the Chabad school of spiritual thought, of Jewish spirituality, beginning from the Alter Rebbe, who created a system called Chachma Bina Das. And then there's quite a large literature that was authored by Chassidim. For example, the Alter Rebbe is one of the greatest Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe's name was Reb Aaron Halevi Horowitz, known as Reb Aaron Strasheller, who wrote books called Avodas Halevi, Shari Hayichud Ve'emunah. The Alter Rebbe had a chassid, I mentioned him in the beginning of the class, Reb Isaac Hameler, Reb Yitzchak Isaac Epstein, wrote fabulous books, Chana Ariel, Shnei Amoiris, Reb Hillel Malisov, known as Reb Hillel Parich, the Rav of Parich, wrote books called Pelach HaRimayin, Imre Noyam, Lekutei Biurim. Now among Chassidim, it was traditional that Chassidim didn't learn their books too often. They would look at them, they would read them, but to make out of it a permanent item for study, for learning, continuously they did not do. In fact, if you learn those books, this is already a subjective feeling. You'll see that there's something missing. There's something missing. All the information may be there, and it's accurate information. They knew what they were talking about, these people. They were great, great men. But you can read a book, you can read 10 pages in Avedis HaLevi or in Pelech HaRimen. It will not reach what a page in Likud HaTorah or Tanya does. Anybody who has a sensitive soul and learns both will feel it. I mean, if you're learning Chassidus or anything when you're sluggish, so you won't feel anything. I mean, nothing makes a difference, you know. But if you're transparent, if your body is transparent and you're sensitive, there is an energy in Likud HaTorah or in Tanya or in the books of the Rebbes that just doesn't exist there. So Chassidim explained, they were sketchers of godliness. The Rabbeim were artists of godliness. They did draw the accurate lines and the accurate shapes, etc. But there's no godliness. When you explain, for example, a concept called Memale Kalalman or Soiviv Kalalman, famous concept in Kabbalah says Hashem fills the worlds or encompasses the worlds. The explanations on these concepts are not Mamala Kalaman and Seviv Kalaman. They explain it, but they are not it. When the Alter Rebbe wrote Mamala Kalaman, you had Mamala Kalaman. Godliness is communicated here. The words were, the letters were transparent. Tzemach Tzedek said once on the writings of Reb Aaron Strasheller that they're very, very accurate, but they're missing, he said, their hair was his hecher von Seichel. Their hair is the ability that somebody should not just know, but should identify. There is herin and there is der herin. There is listening and there is intimacy with it. That's das, der herin. And he said that the godliness should be present, that's missing. So what is the Alter Rebbe? So this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying. A Jew doesn't need philosophy or theology. I mean, if he wants it, no. A Jew needs to experience godliness. That godliness should become real. And that's the function of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the function of a Rebbe. Without a Rebbe, I might know everything, but know nothing. The Moshe Rabbeinu of the generation gives the Jew the gift of Das. The ability that what I know, I should really know. That I should be able to say Emes, V'yatzev, V'nachim, V'kayim, V'yasher, V'neman, V'over, and really, really, really say it. The ability to have Das, that it should become immediate, it should become real, that they give. And why do they give it? Not because their neshamas come from das. That's not enough. So the Alter Rebbe says because their neshamas come from the das of Atzilus. From the das of the world of Atzilus, which is one with the emanator. The spheres, the emanations of Atzilus are one with the emanator. Now what does he mean with this? And that's why it's so relevant here. In a few minutes. The Chassidus explains, this is a theme earlier in Tanya, the transition between the essential reality of Hashem, between the pre-creation state of reality, which is the essential reality of Hashem that is absolute, undefined, exclusive, singular. The transition from that to the post-creation state where there is human identity, from an undefined God to a defined world, the transition is created through the spheros. The spheros are 10 modes of identity. The spheros, so to speak, grant Hashem an identity. The spheros are 10 modes of personality that Hashem identified within Himself, from Chachma through Malchus, from conception through confidence, And through them and via them, the whole concept of identity and all of identities and all of the universe has emerged. So Hashem identified within Himself 10 modes, giving Himself an identity, whether an identity of conception, comprehension, application, attraction, rejection, empathy, etc. And each thing in the world, each drop of water, each spark of fire, each blade of grass, each snowflake, each person is ultimately a development of one of these 10 modes or a combination of a few. They are the building blocks of the entire universe, these 10 modes. Now we all know, each of our soul operates on these 10 modes as discussed in chapter 3. Each of the soul has 10 modes. But these 10 modes in our world are defined by one fact. The fact that they're self-conscious. I understand and I feel and I have wisdom and I apply and I'm kind and I'm strict and I'm compassionate and I'm confident or not confident. We feel the identity of the personality. That's true about all of the worlds and about ourselves. This is a self-conscious universe. We feel the self. That's the basis of our life. The one exception to that are the emanations as they exist in what's known as the world of Atzilus, which is the first of the spiritual worlds that came into being. The first stage of identity, there's an exception. There, the 10 modes don't have a personality of their own. In that world, the definition of these modes is that godliness is expressed through a certain quality. In our world, brilliance is brilliance. Charisma is charisma. Hate is hate. Love is love. It may be good, it may be bad, it may be destructive, it may be constructive, it may be used for godliness, it may be used to oppose godliness. But it has a mode, it has a personality. The question is what you use it for, what you use your love for, what you use your compassion for, what you use your charisma for, what you use your confidence for, what you use your genius for, etc. In Atzilus, Atzilus is that world where the pre-state reality is still felt. The exclusive reality is Hashem and Hashem Himself, which is the only true reality as explained in Tanya 20 and 21. That all of identity is really submerged in the intimate, all-pervading reality of Hashem. What about the identities of Atzilus? The definition of the identities of Atzilus is that godliness is expressing itself through different modes. It's not, I have wisdom. I have kindness. I have the capacity for love. I have the capacity for rejection, for discipline, for compassion, etc. The question is what I use it. In Atzilus, there's no self. There's godliness expressing itself in this mode, in that mode, in that mode. Over there, the modes of identity are a conduit. Totally nullified. Pure conduits, translucent, transparent, for godliness to emerge through them. They don't assume a definition of their own. If Moshe's soul would come just from Das, he would have been an exceptional theologian. What is it called?
Theologist.
He would have been an awesome teacher of godliness, demonstrating through his mind the wisdom, the depth, the truth of godliness. But Moshe Rabbeinu Zagda Alter Rebbe doesn't only come from Das. His soul originated in Das of Atzilus. Das of Atzilus is one with Hashem. Hu v'dayta yechad. It's not about mind, wisdom, knowledge. It's about godliness that's communicated through the conduit of cognizance, through the cognizance of awareness. And therefore, the sparks of Moshe in every generation are the sages of the generation who give people das. Why is it important there should be sparks of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because what they have to give is not, again, academics. They want to give the Jewish people the ability for das, that godliness should become real, immediate. For that, their communication about godliness has to be as an artist who brings the person on the piece of paper, who doesn't only draw lines, who brings down the real person onto the piece of paper, that their words, their explanations, so to speak, represent godliness, reflect godliness, reveal godliness. And that allows the Jew to have das. That spark of Moshe within us, or that relationship to the sparks of Moshe in each generation, allow us to cultivate within us a familiarity with Hashem. Allow us to think about Hashem, and our thinking should have the element of das, which means we should be able to think about it to the extent that it should become really personal. And that's what Alter Rebbe says, the shepherds give vitality and godliness. Which perhaps, they don't just give vitality, spiritual animation, spiritual vitality, spiritual emotions, they give the godliness of it.
A God consciousness, would you say?
Yes.
You know, that you are one with Hashem, and his thoughts are emanating from him into you.
Yes.
Into you.
That's very good. The ability for a person to live with a godly consciousness, which means to have das and godliness. That capacity is a gift of Moshe. And a das, not just an academic knowledge. And now we understand what it means their sparks are enclosed in their body. Their bodies. The worst students, and this is the final point, the worst students of the Baal Shem Tov, of the Maggid, and students of their students, who, according to their in their tradition, they did not say Torah, or they said very little Torah. They taught very little spirituality. And nonetheless, many, many Hasidim followers and pupils and disciples would travel to them and spend time with them. And just being in their presence, seeing them, affected them very deeply. It wasn't a journey in vain. In Chabad, there was another tradition, that's true. But in those traditions, those journeys impacted them very deeply. They came home, spirituality was much more real in their life. Davening was a different davening. A mitzvah was a different mitzvah. Learning was a different learning. Why? What happened? They didn't learn any new information. And the answer is because the body of the tzaddik has sparks of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does it mean, sparks of Moshe Rabbeinu? It represents godliness. Their bodies are artists of godliness. They reflect godliness here on earth in the physical world. So the very face of the tzaddik made godliness real. It made it vibrant. It brought out their own soul. It brought out their own godliness and their own inner spiritual identity. That's why among Chassidim there's a phrase as Meken sich nicht genug angucken auf ein Rebbe. You can't look enough at a Rebbe. Anybody who's seen a real Rebbe knows that you can look and look and look and you can't get bored of it. Because you can't capture it. Because you're dealing with a face or a body that's expressing an infinite, inexhaustible source. You can't have it. When the Alter Rebbe said, "Via kitapuach ba'atzi hayar, the wild apple," and the coachman thought he said "gewald," it instilled an awe in him. It wasn't only the words "wild apple" or "gewald." The divine presence was in those words. So now, in Tanya here, the Alter Rebbe doesn't suffice with the body. And everybody knows that one of the chief doctrines of the Alter Rebbe was that he believed that one has to learn and understand and comprehend, as he puts it here. Think and contemplate with a vigor of heart and a vigor of mind. And that's why the Alter Rebbe created an enormous literature of Chabad, of Chachma Bina Das, because he felt that only when the mind really grasps and comprehends the truth of godliness, can it become part of our system? For das, you need that. But the point is not the explanations or the words or the parables. It's that all these explanations bring out and are containers of the very godly energy, the divine energy that's concealed in the world, the divine energy that is so opaque, that this opaque world totally suppresses. That divine energy came out. And in the continuation of the chapter, The Alter Rebbe will discuss how everybody can do this, how everybody can practically attain that identification that we're talking about, the ability for it we have through Moshe. But that doesn't help. That's not it. We have to do, we have to accomplish it. And that he discussed in the continuation. Yeah. The deep meditation, but he's going to discuss in the continuation of the chapter the two primary obstacles for that, which we will all be able to relate to immediately, and that we'll deal with next thing. I want to conclude with a story. After the passing of the Alter Rebbe, actually, his yahrzeit will be next week, the 24th of Tevis, in the year 1812. There was obviously, self-understood, a major there was a very devastating period for his chassidim, which numbered hundreds of thousands then. And many of the chassidim did not know well the Mittler Rebbe, who ultimately succeeded his father, became the second Rebbe in the dynasty of Chabad, the Mittler Rebbe of Doiv Ber. The Mittler Rebbe's emotions were very concealed, unlike his father, who when he spoke chassidus, or when he davened, or even when he read in the Torah, there was an explosion of divine energy that was obvious. The Alter Rebbe would sometimes roll in the middle of saying a discourse of chassidus. He would enter into a transcendental state of ecstasy and fall on the floor and begin rolling. And the man who transcribed his talks would get down and roll after him. And the Alter Rebbe would bump into the walls and begin bleeding. Blood was sometimes came from his head. So they cushioned all of the walls in Liajna of the Beis Medrash. The Mittler Rebbe was extreme, very different. When he would daven, you would notice no expression, no display of enthusiasm, of inspiration. It was very concealed. And the Alter Rebbe once explained it. We won't get into that at the moment, but a lot of people did not know him. Later, it turned out the Mittler Rebbe gave Chassidus Chabad new horizons. As anyone familiar who learned his books knows, extraordinary in their depth, in their scope, in their width, etc. Now, one of the chassidim, the big chassidim, told the Mittler Rebbe right after the passing of his father in Vitebsk, in a city in Vitebsk in White Russia, that he suggests that the Mittler Rebbe should move and settle in a far, far community in Russia, where the people there did not know the Alter Rebbe, so you should be able to repeat the discourses you heard from the Alter Rebbe. He said, if you settle here, we want new ideas. You know, we heard the discourses, we were around for years, we want new ideas. So the Mittler Rebbe responded, he said it with a smile, but this is what he said, that in Parshas Shmos, in Peir Gimel, Hashem appoints Moshe Rabbeinu as the Rebbe, as the leader, as the redeemer of the Jewish people. And Moshe remains that for all of eternity. He remains that faithful shepherd, the man of God who shepherds the Jewish people then and shepherds them till today, as the Alter Rebbe discusses here. Vayomer Moshe l'Elokim, Moshe turns to Hashem and he says, I'm going to come to the Jewish people and I'm going to tell them, the God of your father sent me to you. They'll ask me, what is his name? They'll tell me, what is his name? What should I tell them? Who is this God? Hashem tells Moshe, tell them, I will be who I will be. And that is his name. So the Mittler Rebbe interpreted thus, homiletically. Moshe asks Hashem, he says, I'm going to come to the Jewish people and I'm going to tell them, Elokei aveisechem shlachani aleichem, the God of your father sent me to you. Va'amruli mashmoi, literally va'amruli mashmoi is, they'll tell me what is his name. The Mittler Rebbe said, va'amruli mashmoi. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, I'll come and tell them, the God of your father sent me to you, and they'll tell me what his name is. They already know it all. Yeah, we don't need you. Thank you for your messages, but we already know everything about him. They know his name. They know his history. They know his reputation. They know his yichas. They know his lineage. They know everything. What am I going to tell them? So Hashem told Moshe, what you'll tell them is, Eke Asherek, Eye Asherek. I will be what I will be. Now the word Eye, Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey, the numerology of the word is how much? 21. Aleph is 1, Hey is 5, Yud is 10, Hey is another 5. So you have Yud and 2 Heys is 20, and Aleph is 1. Eke Asher Eke means Eke times Eke, which means 21 times 21, which is the numerology of the word. How much is 21 times 21? The mathematicians in the house. Comes out to 441. And 441 is the word emes. Hashem said, what you'll tell them is emes, the truth. They might know his name. They might know my name. But do they know the truth? Do they know my name with truth? The truth that you'll tell them. And the Mittler Rebbe has told him in Yiddish, he said, Zogin is kein Kunstnit. Aber Zogin ein Emes darf in der Eigenkirche von Kopp. To say is not so difficult. If you're talented, you're skilled, you can speak. You can even speak the truth. But to say the truth, to communicate the truth, to give people the truth, for that your eyes have to come out of the head. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give and doesn't give the Jewish people information what Hashem's name is. Moshe Rabbeinu gives the Jewish people the truth of Hashem's name. He allows a Jew to think about Hashem and to be able to say, aha, this is it. This is really true. This is Eke Asher Eke, it's Emes. That's the gift of Moshe Rabbeinu. Have a good night and a wonderful week. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. What do you want to ask?
If great people like Isaac Kobler and Hillel Parrish could not communicate God, what hope is there?
No. You're saying if Rabbi Isaac Kamala couldn't communicate godliness, what hope is there to us? They're not Rebbes. Not that we should be able, not that we can become Rebbes and communicate godliness. Just Moshe Rabbeinu. That we should be able to experience Das in our own life. There's ultimately, there's a Moshe Rabbeinu and there's a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. They weren't sparks of Moshe Rabbeinu.
So in other words, for themselves, they got the experience next to them.
Yes, yes. That's what the Tzemach Tzedek said about Rabbanus Tashela. He said he himself experienced the godliness. Every Yid can experience godliness. Every Yid can experience godliness. But to be able to teach it,
to transfer divine energy,
to impart in his explanations, in his intellectual explanations, to impart divinity, that he was incapable. Of course, the Rabbanus Tashela experienced godliness. That's the whole Vort in Tanya. Every Jew can experience godliness. That's what Das means. You can experience godliness. But that doesn't mean you're an artist. Everybody can appreciate a piece of art, right? Everybody can melt away in a piece of art, but it doesn't mean you can paint it. An artist is a skill that vibrancy you can communicate on canvas. A Rebbe has a skill that the divine energy he can communicate within intellect, within philosophy, within words, within explanations. Do you experience godliness? Of course, Rabbanus Tashela and Rabbi Isaac Kamala did that. But that doesn't mean you're an artist. You can melt away in a beautiful painting and really get it, and it should click and it should change your life, and you have Das in it. But you're not an artist. You can depict it on canvas. That's a whole other chush. To take that and to communicate it on canvas, that's a special gift. That's the gift of Moshe and the sparks of Moshe. The ability to take divinity, the presence of divinity, and communicate it through philosophical explanations, through theological concepts, through parables, through stories, through words, through metaphors, to communicate that is a gift. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's unique skill, because his soul comes from Da'as of Atzilus. And therefore, when you read and you learn the Maimorim of the Rabbeim, So your soul is affected deeper in a whole other way because the godliness is present there. And when you're learning and godliness is present, godliness tickles godliness. So the godliness of your soul is awakened. Music tickles music. The godliness of the words brings out the godliness in your identity. When you're learning words, it doesn't bring out the godliness in your identity in the same extent. It conveys information. That's the difference between Chassidus and the Rabbeim, Chassidus of Chassidus.
You said that this form have the power to penetrate your heart.
Yeah.
I think it's an intuitive ability of the Rabbi. It's an intuitive. You got that intuitive feeling where you're connecting with the soul of the Rabbi or of the teacher. It's that ability. Really, it's not so much. It's where the spirit of the person is connecting with the other person. A higher spirit in a way. Does that make sense to you?
I agree.
And I got to tell you one thing. When you were telling Rabbi about a lesser artist, that reminded me years ago, there was a harmonica player, Larry Adler. He was a famous harmonica.
Yeah.
Every harmonica player was playing the same piece. He decided he's going to play a different piece. And he won the contest because the judges felt that it was different. They were tired of hearing the same piece, and he won the contest.
Okay, have a good weekend.
Good night.
And I'll be back in a moment.
How are you? How have you been?
Very good.
Welcome back. Bruch my wife. We missed you.
You took a little break and became a little bit of a politician a little bit lately. We missed the regular. The Yiddish is a little too hard.
Okay.
If you get the English fine. There's an island there.
Okay, good. Yishikaya, it's good to see you again. Have a good night.
Usually talk to Dr. Zimbarba, but I was going to later to Zimbarba, so I'm staying back until the time this year. Why? Who's the Jacobson that writes the Altamayer? That's you. Oh, very good. I see that sometimes also. We started a new Chabad shul in Flatbush. it's sort of like an old shul with Foster and I. Very nice.
Who runs it? Do you have a rabbi?
Mus. Yes, it's funny. It was Rabbi Downton was involved.
Yeah.
He's been out upstairs. I think he just opened that place by the test because
very nice, very nice.
And he was a Selitzin. He came down, he was the guest speaker. And they had, Foster Inn. Foster Inn, East
1213. Yeah,
it was
I've heard
you're always welcome.
Ain't a
daimer ilishmi.
Right, so it was like a little bit more into it than
Kaltov.
You were explaining the unique quality of the Rebbe's of these Chamid and Tzadikim to be able to impart this rather than these Gedolim who were Chassidim who understood it But what I want to ask is, since every Jew has this hemshah from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Das, so what is the difference? Qualitative difference?
No.
Is more of it?
That's a good question.
I think it was more diluted. They got it from their rabbis and they passed it on to their Hasidim.
No, I believe the difference is no. It's one difference. Every Jew, just like in art, I and everybody else, some people are what they call tone deaf. I don't know if there's a word for art deaf. That means you can see the most beautiful, magnificent piece of art, and you just don't get it. You just don't get it.
I can't draw a straight line. That's the expression in art.
I can't draw a straight line.
Being tone deaf, yeah.
Right. But I can appreciate a straight line. Some people just don't have the capacity to appreciate art. Then there are people who naturally have that capacity. They see a piece of art, they can appreciate it, relate to it, melt away in it, be thunderstruck by it, etc. It does not mean that they're artists. If you'll say, okay, you got it? Yes. Can you explain it? I can explain it. I'll come home and visual and explain, articulate it, what I saw. But can you do it? I can't do it. Why not? I don't have the gift of recreating life on paper. Of seeing an image and recreating it. That I don't have a gift. Same exact is true here. There are some people who don't have the capacity to appreciate art. There are some people who do not have the capacity to have das and godliness. Naturally, we would not have that capacity. Hashem is concealed in this world. This world is an opaque, veiled world. Our own divine soul is concealed totally by an animal soul. Moshe Rabbeinu.
On the other hand, if that is the reality,
that's true.
So
but to appreciate, of course, but to appreciate that reality in an immediate way, in a familiar way, is we know how difficult it is, right? Every Jew has the ability, as a result of Moshe, to be able, if he or she wishes to cultivate such a relationship. How? Through intense meditation, they can reach a state where they will experience godliness in a way of das, where it can become as real as something physical.
An intimate knowledge.
One second. But this does not make them artists of godliness. What is an artist of godliness? They can experience godliness, appreciate godliness, allow godliness to resonate within them. Moshe created a situation where godliness resonates within the Jew. If he opens himself up to it, if he meditates, the Alter Rebbe will continue in the chapter to explain what you have to, the obstacles you have to remove. Moshe created a situation where godliness will resonate within you, which means it will become dazdik. Daz means when the knowledge resonates, clicks. That, yes. But then there's something else. It's becoming an artist. An artist is not just appreciating the picture. It's taking that picture, putting it down on paper. The Rabbeim have another gift. A special talent, so to speak. A special skill.
But there's no success here. It doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving something special. It says he's giving
das.
Just as he gave das, it's called das. Just as he gave it to every Jew.
No, but it says there are sparks of the neshama of Moshe. Sparks of Moshe's neshama who enclose themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all have a ray of Moshe, but that's, first of all, not. He doesn't say a spark of Moshe's in every Jew. You're asking what's the difference. He says every Jew has something minishmas Moshe. Yeah, but then by them he says that there are sparks of the neshama of Moshe. What's the difference? I would say the difference is a spark is part of the flame, the very flame of Moshe. A ray is not part of the flame. We may have a ray. They have a whole spectrum of Moshe. And what's the difference? The difference is they have a new ability. And that ability is... Yeah, they don't only have das, they can give das. What means they can give das? They can talk about godliness... Talk about it, and their words, their explanations, their philosophical insights, their anecdotes, their parables, their face, their facial expressions contain and impart divinity.
That power, the light of individuals, contain
contain that power that has the power to express.
Yes.
There were words that have the power in it that have the power to
yes.
go from the mind to the heart.
So, Mela, when you listen to their words, or when you see their face, or when you study their ideas, you're not just studying information, academic information. It's information that allows you to become familiar with godliness, because those words have godliness within them. So it brings Hashem down to earth. So therefore,
a soul from das of its
right.
So that's basically the description of Moshe's soul.
Yeah.
So if we get a ray of das through Moshe, so they're also getting it. He's emanating from das. From
that's what the language means.
Doesn't mean that he's. What does it mean that his soul comes from das?
Every soul originates in one of the spheres.
But as well as, and
different souls. All souls ultimately come from the
but
same source, Chachma.
But they have all the other components.
That's true, but the question is, what's the emphasis?
Oh, I see, that's what it means.
What's the emphasis?
A soul emanating from a specific sphere.
All souls are rooted... Yes. For example, all children are rooted, and their source is the procreative substance in the egg of the father and mother, right? But you'll say, this boy is his mother's kid. This boy is his father's kid, right? This girl is her father's daughter, right? In that sense, all Jews have a connection to all seven shepherds, right? But one soul is Avram's child. You know, one soul is Yitzchak's child. One soul is Yaakov's child. One soul, its primary feature is love. Its primary feature is awe. Its primary feature is wisdom. Its primary feature is action. Some most Jews, they're emotional. Some Jews are intellectual. Some Jews are functional, etc. So the question is, what's the primary emphasis? Now, Moshe's primary feature was Das. And since Das is the key for everything else, so that's why Moshe is considered the primary shepherd. Excuse me.
This kind of Das is the power of getting in touch with godliness.
Yes, of course. Das allows you to get in touch with godliness. Either to create a godly emotion, or to get in touch with a godly emotion. There's two types of emotions. There's creating godly emotions, avavir sichlim, and there's revealing godly emotions. But any of the two, emotions and godliness is only through das. If godliness is not a personal truth, you will never not develop or create an emotion towards it. That's why Avram needs Moshe. The key for us to experience Avram in our life is Moshe. Avram himself experienced it. But for us to experience the Avram in our life, to open the treasure backs of love, you need the key. And the key is Das. The key opens the treasure box. Once godliness is real, so my embedded love towards Hashem can come out. Can come out in its full splendor. But if it didn't become real intellectually, you'll never feel the emotion towards.
Very strong emotion, Das.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Like
yeah. So the Alter Rebbe says this kayach, to think about Hashem in a way that he becomes real, that it should resonate, this Moshe Rabbeinu and the Moshe gives to the Jew. They give this gift to the Jew. And that's what I'm saying. The reason they can give the gift to the Jew is because they bring godliness into the world.
So if you learn a piece of Chumash, like a certain story that happened in
This is.
And you sit back afterwards and meditate and meditate times until you get very excited. That means that the Torah became Das.
For this, you need time. We'll see next week. For Das, you need time, you need maturity, and you need to remove a lot of obstacles.
Right.
But without it, you can't begin to live a spiritual life. You can learn a lot, and you can be a great scholar.
Yeah.
But to live a spiritual, what means live a spiritual life? Refine your personality. Develop your emotions. Allow godliness to permeate your habits, your schedule, your attitude, your perspective. For that, you have to have das. Without das, it means a detached truth, an academic hypothesis. Godliness doesn't become your life, your emotions, your habits, etc. So when he talks about Chachmei Hadar, Eini Ha'Eidah, he asked before, the sage of the generation, he's not just talking about a scholar, a man who's brilliant and who's a great scholar in Torah. It's a different type of scholar. It's a scholar who breathes godliness, who godliness vibrates through every sinew and fiber of his being.
You mentioned in Shirin, like last year or something, a long while ago, that that's the core to take Chachma and Bina and transfer.
Of course, that's the thing. That he says in Perek Gimel. Das is the source for emotions.
Source
for emotions. Look, in the end of chapter 3, he says that he brings the pasuk v'adam yada eschava. He says there, Alkein hadas uki, last line, Alkein hadas ukiyum amidas v'chayusam. Page 14. The last, second to the last line. Alkein, therefore, hadas ukiyum amidas v'chayusam. Das gives existence to the emotions and gives them inner vitality. Without Das, you might be able to have emotions, but they will not endure and they will not have energy. You can have an instinctive, you can experience Avraham Avinu. One morning you can wake up in the morning and feel a love towards godliness. You can have it. But it will not survive. It will not endure. It will not have a battery, an engine that will keep it going. It's instinctive. You sometimes feel an emotion that's in you. If you want the emotion to become part and parcel of your identity, you have to have Das. Because Das consolidates it. Das consolidates godliness in your life. So now the Avraham Avinu in you has a comfortable residence to live in. As long as you don't have Das, there can be flashes of inspiration. You know, sometimes people who are very physical can have a moment of an instinctive flash of inspiration. You feel the Avraham Avinu in you. But it's more superficial, it's more overwhelming, right. It's momentary, it's instantaneous, etc. If you want the midday should endure, if you want they should exist and have an engine, a battery, these former emotions will die. They come and they go.
The hay that lights up.
The hay lights up and it goes. If you want to create a bonfire of the Avraham Avinu in your life, a permanent bonfire, you have to have Das. Das produces logs.
How do you produce the Das?
But you have to keep working to continue on that.
Every day. Every day. Das consolidates the awareness of Hashem. Das consolidates it. It becomes a real truth. So now, the Avraham Avinu in you has a home to live in. The love has a place to be. And Das makes godliness just a real truth in your mind.
And you really something that you feel very much in your heart.
So then everything that's in your heart can easily come out to the fore.
I see. But the toughness of this
we don't have emotions towards an abstract truth. You know why? Because we don't care about an abstract truth. People don't get emotional about an academic detached hypothesis. Why not? Because emotions means that I'm moved by it. And for me to be, it has to be relevant to me. So as long as I don't have Das, which means godliness is not a truth that's relevant to me, I'm not moved by it. Not in love, and not in awe, not in any other way. I have to be moved by it. How are you moved by something? When it's relevant to you, you're moved by it. What do we fear? We fear things that can harm us, they're relevant. What do we love? We love things that enhance us, that are relevant to us. You understand? Without Das, godliness is not relevant. It's not personally relevant. So you can't be moved by it. So you can't create. There are two types of emotions. There are emotions we create, there are emotions we reveal. Either emotions to come out, godliness has to be relevant. Das means applying it, making it relevant, personal. Now I could be moved by it emotionally. That's it. That's the part. Yeah. The same word. The Rebbe says, the reason he says first body and then soul. sparks of Moshe that come down in each generation, in the sages, in the different Rebbes and Tzaddikim. The Alter Rebbe says they enclose themselves in their body and in their soul. Why body first? If you would say soul first, you would think it's through the soul. The body gets it through the soul. If there's a Rebbe here, the soul for sure has it. But the body also had, the Alter Rebbe wants to say, the body directly.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.